starting to embrace these three words. I don't care. I'm really starting to embrace I don't care. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care about stuff that people think I should be doing if I don't want to do it. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. And I don't mean that in the sense of, being hostile or anything like that. I mean, I've recognized what's important and what isn't important.
Right, right.
So the rest
and that's
of it,
the focus.
I don't care. I just don't care. I mean, it's great. Everybody else is free to do what they want to do. But at this point in the game, I'm far enough along that I can make those decisions too. And everything else, I don't care about.
There's something liberating about getting older because you do stop caring about the things that really don't serve you well. And I know that I'm certainly much more cognizant of time, not so much that all my time is so value-added, I'm just so focused on spending my time the right way. It's not so much that, but I am aware of when I get to a point that, you know what, I don't need to spend time doing this anymore. This is really not serving me, and I don't like it. Well, I haven't talked about it a lot in the last few recordings and last few shows that we've had, but I'm going to talk about it now. By the time you hear the show, I am well on my way to being 60 years old or young or whatever, which means that I have been in the midlife game for a while. And I was talking to my good friend, Mary Fran Potempo, and I was saying, you know what, we need to do a show about the 10 really fantastic things about being in midlife, because I know I have my 10 things, but I really wanted to look to Mary Fran's 10 things, and this is the reason why. Mary Fran Potempo is an award-winning author, speaker, and humorist who believes in the power of women. For over 30 years, Mary Fran has written for and about women and girls, sharing all their laughters, their joys, and really some of their hysterical times and tears, which is what we're going to talk about today. She's the founder of the lifestyle blog, Not Ready for Granny Panties, which is also one of the titles of her, The Women's Book of Dirty Words, and we've talked about it in previous shows. Go ahead and take a look at my archive here on One Energy, and you'll see her other show that she did with us, but she is just fabulous, and it's so wonderful to have you here, Mary Fran. It's just always fun to talk with you.
We always have best time together, Linus. It is always a complete joy, and I'm just going to say this right now for everyone who cannot see this woman. She is stunning, and she doesn't look a day over 35, and I'm really jealous. But that's
she's also
there.
She's also really lying, but that's okay.
I am not. You know it. You're gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting because my best friend for 45 years was just here visiting with me and my grandson, and she's 62, and I'm almost 60. And she's like, there is a major difference here. And I said, you know what it is in terms of the way we look? The difference is the energy level. I never have lost my energy. Part of the reason is I'm not retired. And I think sometimes when you retire, sometimes you kind of lose that, you know, you kind of lay back a bit. And sometimes people get more sedentary. And my girlfriend has kind of gotten there, although now she's working more on getting out and doing more things now that she has more time. But the other part is the energy and your outward, you know, how you look at life. And I'm still learning. I'm still discovering things. I'm still working on myself. I'm still a work in progress. I don't have all the answers. And so I think that one of the greatest things about midlife is discovering that, first of all, it's okay that you don't have all the answers. And second of all, it's never too late to try to get them all, to try to learn more. Be more. The clock does not stop ticking in terms of your ability to grow and to find out what is it about you that makes you special and basically why you've been put here on earth. But what about you, Mary Fran? When we were talking about some of the 10 great reasons why midlife is so fantastic, what thoughts did you have running through that brilliant brain?
Well, you know that it was funny because somebody had asked me. I was out with somebody a couple of weeks ago, a friend, and we were actually talking about marriage at the time. And my husband and I are going to be married for 36 years.
Wow.
Which, if you've been with anybody for 36 years, you either have a very high tolerance for pain, or else you're just really compatible. And I think in our case, it's probably a little of both. But he said to me, this guy said to me, because he's on his second marriage, and he said, what's your secret? I said, you know what I think the secret is? It really has to do with this idea of being in midlife, too. Nothing is that important. Mm. Nothing is that important. You know, if I had back all of the times when I got my knickers in a knot about something that was pointless or irrelevant or a minor annoyance or something that I turned into something else. And now I'm finally at this point in my life where I get it. I get that nothing is that important. There are a few things in life that are really important, and everything else is kind of whatever.
You know, that's absolutely right. I agree with you. In fact, I can remember that on a daily basis of my 20s and up to 30, maybe even 40, my hair was always on fire. My hair was always on fire. There was always something going on. Everything was like, oh, my God, you know, every single day. And it almost became kind of like a mantra and way of life, you know, that what is it today that's going to cause my hair to be on fire? But after you have lived for so long and been through so much, you begin to realize that you've beat just about everything there is to beat, short of death. That's the only thing basically that's left, you know?
That's it.
So, you know, you only get so excited. And it's really interesting because I hang out a lot with my daughters, and they're all approaching 30 or they're already 30. And we have a lot of fun together. We talk, we laugh. But sometimes when I'm listening to their conversations, I just crack up to myself because I'm thinking, man, they don't even know. This is nothing compared to what they're going to be looking at later. So I think midlife, living midlife, one of the great things about it is that you have the wisdom and the frame of reference that this too shall pass.
That is exactly right. And I think, you know, if anybody at this point, if you're still standing, remember that Elton John song?
I'm still standing
after all this time.
Yeah.
So if you're still standing after all this time, you do realize that you start to go back over that sort of, that file cabinet of your life, and you think about all of the stuff that you've been through. And the idea that you're still standing, you just kind of look back behind you and go, boy, that was a lot of caca that I had to deal with back there. Mm-hmm. And I made it through. And it's really validating.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter how whatever successful, whatever you may perceive yourself to be, if you really take one of those life inventories and look at where you are after all this time, pat yourself on the back. Like, that is, it's an achievement that you're still standing. And that's why I said, like, nothing's that important after everything else that we've been through.
You know,
it's all good.
I had an interesting conversation with an old friend of mine this morning, and she has been really upset about the idea that she still has to work longer than what she planned. She has her own business and is very, very successful. But as happened to many people back in 2009, 2008, some things that, you know, could not have anticipated happened, and people's retirement went down the drain or whatever. And I don't think it was her retirement, it was real estate deals or something that go well. And so she's having to work, and she's really upset about it, and to the point where she feels a sense of anxiety and depression about it. And as I'm listening to her, you know, talk about, you know, why this is such a terrible thing, I thought to myself, well, what about those people who still have to continue working that have to find a job? They don't have one. Or what about those who can't even get up out of their bed to complain about having to go to work? What about those who are too sick, okay, and had to stop work a long time ago and feel they have no future because they're dealing with a chronic disease? When you put those things in perspective sometimes, in terms of the fact that, yes, you're older, but you're still able to walk, talk, work. I mean, what's to complain about? The complaining would
be... You know what? I think you've hit it right on the head. That to me is another thing that has become such a profound part of my life at midlife, and it's that sense of gratitude for even the smallest thing. Like when I turn on the faucet in the morning and water comes out, because I've had times when the water hasn't come out, or when the water came out through the ceiling in my house and ruined the entire house from the inside out.
Wow.
I mean, when when you take, and my husband and I say this to each other all the time, the kids are out of the house now. By the way, that's another thing that's great about midlife. The kids are out of the house now. We'll come back to that. We'll circle back to that. But we'll sit on the sofa in the evening and we'll be watching the evening news or whatever. And you just look at what other people are going through in the world. And the fact that we are sitting on our own sofa in our own home with not one room, but multiple rooms. And we can just watch television. We often look at each other and just talk about how blessed and how lucky we are. And that, to me, that sense of gratitude is just, it's one of the best things about midlife, that you realize finally how lucky you are.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm going to remind her of that, because I believe that what you think about, what you ponder on, what you continually say to yourself, that self-talk that I know you know so much about, that we have a tendency to say to ourselves as women in midlife, sometimes can be pretty negative. And as a result, you go ahead and negative comes back to you as you continue to think about all the negative things that are going on in life. And one thing about being older in midlife is that you really should be able at that point to know how to sincerely flip the script and say, okay, yeah that's true, but these are the other things that have happened in my life along the way that I'm grateful for. And if it's happened before, it'll happen again.
Yes.
Instead of being, you know, because you know, in the 20s and 30s, it's happening right now. And you don't have the frame of reference to realize that, okay, this too shall pass and you'll make it through. You don't always have that frame of reference. So that's where the hair on fire comes in. But at some point in time, we have to decide, you know, to either walk around with a fire or even light the match. Because it's not, as you said, it's not this. So I know we've got not that big of a deal. Gratitude's important. You mentioned something about the kids.
Ah, oh, yes, the kids. The kids who, all three of them now, all three of mine are either married or they have the significant other in their lives. So that's one really great thing about midlife. There's usually, if you're fortunate, your child has someone else in their life that's the buffer between you and them. That's one of the best things about midlife, that I now have a buffer between me and them for everything.
And that is so, I get you. I hear you. I've got four and I have three that have the buffer. I have one that doesn't. And the one that doesn't, guess who gets the call?
Mama.
All the time. Yeah.
Mama always gets the call.
I'm definitely looking for matchmakers for that one. I tell you. The buffer, I love that. I love that idea. That's right. They go and they get other. I tell you something I like about midlife when it comes to the kid, that you go from being a hands-on helicopter parent to being a coach. You know?
Yeah.
You give them ideas. You tell them what you think. You give them a frame of reference. Tell them what happened to you. And then you back off and let them figure it out. That's right.
That's actually a really good way to identify that transition, because that really is what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you're smart, you will recognize that the best way that you can help them in midlife is to lose the urge to control their lives. And I don't mean control as in, you know, you're pulling all the strings necessarily, right. But we always, because of our experience, know better. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we probably do, but they need to make their own mistakes. They need to do what they're going to do, and they're going to do it anyway. So, you know, that idea of just sort of freeing yourself from, like you said, here's my advice, here's what I've done, here's been my experience, now it's on you. And just that, I always call it the Pontius Pilate, where you wash your hands of them. I'm doing a Pontius Pilate. I'm just washing my hands of this whole mess. And just, you just have to let them take responsibility for it. And that is one of the best feelings ever, because really, if you've done your job, they know that they have to take responsibility for it. And that's freeing for you.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I'll tell you something else about kids and being so involved with what's going on with them. There comes a point in time where the problems they have are just like the problems you have. And when you got multiple kids like I do, four, that's a whole lot of tax issues, broken head gaskets, having to raise closing costs for homes, finding childcare, you know, taking care of grad school. That's a whole lot of crap that I'm doing right now. Times four. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
So I had to learn to do that. I had to learn to let it go.
You do. I mean, and you know, it's not easy, because it is, we have been the ones doing everything for them for decades. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, you know, when I do talk about the dirty words and all and the commandments, one of them is thou shalt lose control, because it's really hard for us and it has to be done intentionally. Mm-hmm. It has to be a decision that we make that, okay, it's time now. It's time. And that, like I said, that's one of the most freeing things. And the other thing, when you just, the point that you just brought up, it's in a somewhat twisted way, very gratifying to have them have the same problems that we have.
That's true. Notice I didn't mention anything like incarceration. I mean, you know, the right. healthy problems that we've had. Right.
Right.
Thank goodness that's not in my background. And thank goodness none of them have gone there. It's a shame that we even have to point that out. But these days, with they're so unpredictable in terms of what's going on, you know, you once again want to be grateful for where you are right now in this moment in time. You have to be grateful instead of taking it for granted and complaining about how it isn't. Start celebrating right. how it is.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Breathing in, you're breathing out, and we are one step ahead of the game. The Grim Reaper is still not, has not caught up to us yet, so we are winning.
Absolutely. So share with us some more. What are some other things that you thought about when it came to being grateful for midlife?
Well, you're going to laugh at this one, but when you and I had this discussion about this show and how we were going to do it, one of the first things that came to my mind, this is going to sound so funny, was Costco. Costco was one of the first things that came to my mind.
Okay, Costco.
The reason that it was Costco is because my husband and I, again, with having the empty nest, now have this freedom to just say to each other, hey, do you want to go? I need a couple of things at Costco. You want to get in the car and go? And we can go. We can go to Costco anytime we want. We don't have to worry about picking anybody up at someone's house. God bless the dog. Rest in peace. The dog's gone. We don't have to keep dog anymore. We don't have to worry about anything but what we want to do. Now, yeah. It's not always like that, but it's more often mm-hmm. than not like that.
Yes.
And just that little, and it sounds funny, but, you know, we're not jetting off to Paris. We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. But we are taking advantage of those moments and spending a little bit of time together. Maybe we're getting a hot dog at Costco, you know, the $1.50 hot dog and drink
right,
deal.
Right.
It's not a bad one. Not a bad deal.
But you're absolutely right. You have more moments in time. You have more time to do what it is that you want to do. And you really don't have to ask permission from anyone. I know my yep. husband used to tease me when the kids first, you know, were out of the house, because most of them were out by 18 because they were all the way to school by 18, you know. And he used to tease me and say, you sure you want to call your parents and ask permission first before we go?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because ruled our lives, you know.
They do. They do. I mean, every single thing that you do is filtered through the lens of what do all of those people have to do first. Mm-hmm. It's all filtered through that lens. So when you finally don't have to factor it into every single decision you make, I mean, I honestly, it's the funniest thing. I can't tell you how many times the two of us get in the car and we go, we're going to Costco just because we can.
Just because
I
we
mean,
can.
That's it. It's just because we can.
And that sounds so silly, but I understand it. I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm finally to the place now where I was 33 years ago. 33 years ago, I was expecting. And one of my girlfriends, it was so funny. Back then, it was so cool to have girlfriends who were at least 5 to 6 years older than me, because I was like 28 and they were 34, and that was so cool. I'm here to tell you now, as cool as it used to be, and they're 66. But back then it was cool.
And whole different thing.
whole different phase there. And they would tell me, Linus, because they had children, just remember to really appreciate getting in the car without diaper bags, toy bags, car seats, jackets, backpacks, water, the cooler, extra food, diapers. You could get in the car, and that's it. And then you just get out of the car. It's just you. They say, enjoy this, because this will be the last time, probably most of your adult life, where you don't have to do that. And they're absolutely right.
They're right.
Yes, I can get in the car with just my little, just this.
Yes, exactly.
My little notebook with my phone and my credit cards in it. I don't have anything else. And if I do decide to take anything else, it's all my stuff.
That's right. It's all your stuff. And your car no longer smells like French fries or Burger King wrappers, or and you're not finding dried out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches underneath the seats and stuffed in the back. It's done. The only mess it's in the car, make.
Right.
I don't make much of a mess, which I've also found to be one of the joys of midlife, is that when I put something somewhere in my house, next time it's there. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I put something somewhere, and surprise, lo and behold, it's still there when I come back.
Or,
that never happened when I had kids.
Well, another thing, too, is in midlife that's wonderful. Hopefully, you're living with your significant other, or you may be living by yourself, but you pretty much know what's in the refrigerator.
That's
no
right.
No surprises.
No surprises, and if it's growing some kind of mold, it's because you left it in there too long, not because your kid brought something home and you have no idea what it is. It's, I mean, it's just that part of things where when I clean up the kitchen, I go to bed, and then the next morning I come down and it's still clean. It's nothing short of a miracle.
That is nothing short of a miracle. That is absolutely true. And it's funny, on the same token, too, is that you're not cleaning after everybody else anymore.
Exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
Just yourself, maybe just your significant other. But one of the midlife joys is that you don't have to worry about getting on someone else's room clean, keeping the front room clean, you know, vacuuming, doing dishes. You can argue with yourself about that, but you don't have to argue with them about that anymore. All those kinds of things that you have to keep track of when you have multiple people living with you.
Yes. All of those things that now somehow are less. Less cleaning, less cooking, less laundry. You know, there are a lot of things that get less sort of as you get older, but those lesses are good.
Those lesses are good.
Yeah, those lesses are good. I have no, you know, I only do laundry maybe twice a week now, mm-hmm. as opposed to every single day.
Every single day. Sometimes 2-3 times a day, because I have four girls, so you know how that is. They have to change 3-4 times a day. So that
was,
with no regard to who's going to wash all these clothes from all these changes. Absolutely. That's another thing, too. And I love clothes. I am a clothes horse, absolutely. But there's no way in the world, no matter how much I try, that I could buy enough for 4 other people for me. My clothes bill is less.
Exactly. And again, you know where everything is. You would probably appreciate this more than anybody with 4 girls, because half of the stuff that you find, it's not there. Somebody borrowed this. Somebody took that. And you know, your makeup. Mom, do you have tweezers? Yeah, I have them. And then you never see them again.
Right.
Okay. Put them back. Put the stuff back. I don't care what you use. Just put it back.
Mm-hmm.
So now I use my tweezers and I put them back in my makeup bag. And the next time I want them, they're still there.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What else? I tell you, one of the ones I thought about today is that if you want to in midlife, because the kids are gone and it's just you and maybe your significant other, you can run through the house naked if you want to. I mean, really?
You know, this is going to sound really crazy, but every once in a while, this is really true confessions here. I actually use the bathroom and don't shut the door and lock it and bolt it and make sure, because nobody's going to burst in on me.
I love the lock it and bolt it. I know what you're talking about.
there. I don't have to hide my chocolate in the vegetable drawer anymore because that's where I used to hide it. That and in my handbags in my closet. I would hide it in there sometimes too, my handbags that I wasn't using. And then I'd lock myself either in the closet or in the bathroom.
Oh, my goodness.
That that's so- I get a chocolate whenever I want, wherever I want it.
Yeah, that is so true. And here's another one that I was thinking about in terms of what's wonderful with midlife. You get a chance to get reacquainted with you.
Yes.
You get a chance to find out who you really are and what is it you really want to do. And, wow, who knew? You might even decide you want to pursue that thing that you've always put off because there were so many other agendas that you were in charge of and so many other things that need to be done for other people. At midlife, hopefully, you know, all those other people that were helping determine what your life is going to be like, what your agenda for the day was going to be like, they're off doing other things and living their lives. And so now you actually have more time to say, wow, what is it that I really want to do when I grow up? And how do I want to do it? I mean, you have a frame of reference that is so different because it's just you and maybe your significant other and no one else kind of dictating how your life is going to be.
Exactly. And I mean, I kind of feel like for me, I sort of feel like in some ways the fog has lifted.
Mm.
You know, all of a sudden there's this clarity of vision. And I go, first of all, my husband and I will look at each other now finally and go, oh, I remember you. I remember why I got into this in the first place.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do. Include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
One of the actually really cool things about midlife is that I feel like we're kind of redefining what that means. That whole idea of midlife and relationships and all of those kinds of things. I mean, obviously the ideas of what family and marriage and all that means has been evolving in our society in general. And I think that can only be good, because what ends up coming out of it is you get to create that life that you want, and you still have the opportunity to do that through midlife and beyond. It's no longer this this rigid, well, you've done this and now it's time for this in your life, and now it's time for that in your life. You know, we get to create what we want. And that, like I said, you can go to Costco whenever you want. You can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm,
and that, to me, that really is the beauty of it, because I'm doing things at this point in my life that if you had told me 10 or 15 years ago that I would be doing half of this stuff, I would have laughed.
There's no way you would have thought that was going to be happening. Absolutely.
Nope.
And it's amazing. I think that's one of the wonderful things about midlife, is that you've discovered that there are still things that can surprise you about life. Because yes. I think you're maybe more open and aware. You're looking for things. You have less, that fog has lifted, and all yes. of a sudden the light is going off, and you're beginning to realize, wow, I still have a good portion of life. And if you're not thinking that way, you should be thinking that way, because you do have a good portion. I really do feel, with my wrinkles and everything else, that this is really the best time of my life ever. This is the best time. Yeah, I'm a little bit more seasoned. I've got gray in my hair and some other little lump, lady lumps that I wasn't expecting at this time, you know. But aside from all of that, I really am beginning to feel better in my skin. I finally realized that this is it. It's not going to change. Even plastic surgery, I am who I am. Faults that's and right. all, this is who I am. And the part that's good, I really love. And the part that's not, I'm working on. And that's okay.
Yeah,
I no longer am going for perfection, and I am really working on the cure for the need to please disease.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And I'm starting to embrace these three words. I don't care. I'm really starting to embrace. I don't care. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care about stuff that people think I should be doing if I don't want to do it. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. And I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, being hostile or anything like that. I mean, I've recognized what's important and what isn't important.
Right, right.
So the rest
and that's
of it,
the focus.
I don't care. I just don't care. I mean, it's great. Everybody else is free to do what they want to do. But at this point in the game, I'm far enough along that I can make those decisions too. And everything else, I don't care about.
There's something liberating about getting older, because you do stop caring about the things that really don't serve you well. And I know that I'm certainly much more cognizant of time, not so much that all my time is so value-added, I'm just so focused on spending my time the right way. It's not so much that, but I am aware of when I get to a point that, you know what, I don't need to spend time doing this anymore. This is really not serving me, and I don't like it. I don't get it. So why am I doing it? I was talking to a friend the other day. We've been friends for years, and she was telling me about a friend of hers that we both knew, and she told me we were going to be getting together, and she said, oh wow, you still, you know, hang out with Linda? She said, remember that time when she did whatever? She said, how can you still be with her? She said, first of all, I don't remember that time, but second of all, you know, that was like, what, 20 years ago? And then I thought to myself, now I remember why I stopped spending time. Because I didn't like her.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Right. So when she told me that, I thought to myself, okay, validation. Thank you. That's the reason. I don't like being around people who are unforgiving. That can't forgive. And that's something I've learned to do in midlife, because we all fall short of God's glory. We all make mistakes. We all have a backstory that ain't too good. We all have gone down that slippery slope of failure in some way or another, whether it's failure in a business, failure in your character, failure in your marriage, relationships with the kids, whatever. Failure is a part of our backstory. So therefore, one of the things I love about midlife is I really have learned to not judge and say, you know what? Everybody has a backstory. I don't like how it looks maybe right here, but there's a backstory that I don't know about. And I'm not judging, because I know that I live in a glass house. And therefore, everyone who's out there judging, you probably live in a glass castle.
That's exactly right. And you know, that brings up another point. Speaking of castles, this is another thing that floats around in my head that ties directly with that. I think about Frozen, Disney's Frozen,
and Elsa
singing, let it go, let it go. That is my mantra. Let it go.
Let it go.
Just let it go. And it applies to so many things. I am letting people go. People, like you said, that make me crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? God bless you, or as they say down south, well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. You're not part of my life anymore. So I'm just letting stuff go and feeling this great sense of freedom and relief as I let go of things that don't serve me or that I just don't like doing anymore. Mm-hmm. And guess what? what? It's cool. It's kind of a been there, done that thing, and I don't feel the need to pursue that anymore.
I can remember as a little girl telling my mom, you know, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. And my mom would say, well, Linus, that's just something you want. Or, well, Linus, that's just something you need. Just because you want and need those things doesn't mean that it's going to happen. And I think as we get to midlife, we still have our wants and needs, but we also have that kind of like, but you know what? If it doesn't happen that way, that's okay too. You know, I'm just going to go with the flow. And I love the idea. I finally understood what it meant and the value of learning to be present and staying present. And in midlife, probably the biggest gift that anyone could give you is, if you don't know already, is to teach you how to be present. How to focus on having joy in that moment in time. Not thinking about the past and what happened 20 years ago, ever, and not thinking so much about the future, because guess what? It's not promised.
You don't know.
Just focusing on, like, for instance, having this conversation with you and focusing on the goodness of that and the serendipity of all of that. I mean, who knew? We've known each other for a few years, but we've never met in person. You are in a completely different place in the United States, and you're in Jersey, right?
I'm in Philly.
Yes, you're in Philly.
Just outside of Philadelphia.
Okay, that's what you were in Jersey over the weekend. Okay,
yes,
you're in Philly. You're in Philly. And I'm all the way in California. Two completely different women appearing on the outside, but on the inside, so much in common. And that's what the beautiful part of being in midlife is that you give, or if you're not, you should be giving yourself the opportunity to reach outside yourself and really discover what's out there for you and allow things to come to you, allow the universe to bring those things to you instead of like, oh, no, I can do that.
Yes.
No. And there are some midlifers out there, and I would say to you, you know, I'm not judging you because you do that, but I am saying, stop it.
Stop, Just knock it off already. And that actually brings up the next thing that I think is wonderful about midlife, which is the ability to say things like that to people. People can kind of, they can cross it up to early dementia or whatever, but when you get to a certain age, you can say things and people just kind of deal with it. You can say to somebody, okay, come on, knock it off.
Right.
Enough of that.
Just stop.
Just knock it off.
Right.
And because you have a certain level of experience in life and a certain amount of wisdom, and I think because you are, you can say things like that and not necessarily be judgmental of people, exactly what you just said, but people recognize that. And I think, you know, when you and I have had these conversations about how we say this all the time, that we're sisters from another mother,
mm-hmm.
but I think that as you get to a certain point in life, you realize that everybody pretty much has the same story. Our details are just different.
Yes.
So when you can look at someone who you really feel like is taking the wrong path or doing something and just say to them, look, you got to knock it off. I think there's an authenticity that you bring to that conversation in midlife that would have maybe appeared a different way when you were younger or whatever. The intention behind it is more visible when you get to midlife because people, I think, know that you're coming from a good place. I'm not competing with anybody anymore.
Right. Right.
I'm done with that.
Right.
Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what you're capable of. I know where I'm, you know, I'm not competing with you. So mm-hmm. if I say something to you in truth, it's truly with your best interests at heart. It's not.
I think that, you know, the competition that you used to feel in the third with women in particular, that begins to go away in midlife and you become more kindred spirits and the sisterhood seems to really kind of gel there and you kind of like get it. And you know that if a woman is telling you something, it's out of hopefully the goodness of their heart, not out of a sense of competition because they're trying to
right.
one-up you. And if you are in midlife and still doing that, shame on you.
Stop it. Stop it.
No judging. But
no judging, but stop.
But stop. Right. And that's another thing about midlife is that it really does free you up to say no, not have to say why.
Yes.
No.
No is a complete sentence.
Yeah, someone just said... I know. Is it action and also a noun?
No. That's it. No.
No. Someone sent me a text today saying that a person with a good heart can still say no.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, You know, I think the awareness that, and this is something that I'm finally getting to. If somebody does get with me because I say no or because I'm true to myself or whatever, I finally understand that that's their problem. You know, I don't internalize that. I don't, if I'm acting the way I'm supposed to act as a you know, a human, as a Christian, as a person who, you know, is really trying to be the best I can be as a human. If someone doesn't approve of that or like that, that's their problem.
Yes. Yes, I've learned that. I have finally learned that. I've also learned that what you think about me really isn't any of my business.
Right, exactly.
And that's okay. It really isn't my business. That's your business. Take the sum total of your thoughts and with what other people have told you and not take this in and decide that this, you know, that I'm that way or whatever and you're not my friend or whatever. My one word to you, maybe it's two words to you, is thank you.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I don't want that in my life anyway.
My life. I don't need this in my life. Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
No.
You know, and it's that freedom to make those decisions too, to say, I don't want this in my life. That's huge. At a certain age, you are able to say, and it goes back to that idea of saying no. At a certain age, you're able to say, yeah, no, I don't want that in my life. You know, it's, I think it's a really interesting that you find your balance between trying things and saying, whoa, no, that's not for me.
Right.
And being okay with that.
Right, right. I think that you begin to know yourself so well that you really know what can bring you joy. And I don't want to say make you happy, because I think we know by midlife that happiness comes and goes. It's fleeting.
Yes.
I'm going for joy and peace.
Yes.
You know, that's what I'm going for. That those high exhilaration, those high highs, or those low lows. Kind of, I would like to think I've left those behind. And now it's kind of like a steady, you know, transition between joy and valley, or joy and, you know, that kind of thing. And not, you know, woo, woo, woo.
Right. Well, I think you understand that there is true value in contentment. It doesn't have to be this constant state of excitement and hysteria all the time. It's okay to just be content.
Yes.
You know, like I this is going to sound crazy, but this is another thing that's about midlife, is that you can eat and do whatever you want as far as food goes. You don't have to cook all the time, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, one of the favorite things that I do every once in a while is just make myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and have some and have some Doritos and Diet Coke. And it's like my bad foods meal, but I love it. And
yeah,
that's
me too.
The high for me. I'm content with that.
It doesn't have to be anything
fancy. I'm content.
That's my comfort food.
We have another thing
I know. I have three comfort foods that are anti-wellness, everybody. So for those of you who just think I'm only wellness, please cover your ears. Okay. my three foods that I love in midlife, and I'm not giving them up because I have no vices anymore. Well, okay, four. One's a liquid. The three are Cheez-Its.
Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Love.
And Juanita's tortilla chips. They're greasy, they're salty, but oh my God.
Oh.
When you crunch down, all that crap goes in your mouth and you feel fantastic.
Isn't that the best thing ever?
Yeah, and sake.
Oh yeah, that's got to be good.
Sake is my drink of choice. I have no vices left. I can't do anything. I don't drink anymore because it gives me headaches, or I don't wake up on time or whatever. I feel like crap. So, I mean, these are my vices. You know, it's not crack. So, you know, I'm okay
with
that.
There you go.
I'm okay with that.
That's it.
I think that another thing you learn in midlife is all things in moderation. For those of you who are thinking, okay, I listened to Linus's show to find out more about, you know, wellness and how to make the lifestyle change. And we talk about that. But if you notice, we also talk a heck of a lot about our emotions and about our well-being spiritually. Because I'm telling you, when it comes to that mind-body-spirit connection, spiritually and mentally, if we are off, the body's going to be falling pretty quickly. So I like to talk about also the things that you can do that can help you to feel a sense of joy,
yes,
a sense of contentment, a sense of peace, as you mentioned earlier. Those things will lead you to wellness. If you're going down that track where you're continually feeling miserable, stressed out, unhappy, depressed, anxious all the time, I would say it's time to get a new groove. It doesn't necessarily mean that you got to have pharmaceuticals, you know, or any of those things, or that, God forbid, you end up with a chronic disease that gets more serious because of all the stress. It's time to make a change. And one thing you should know about midlife, if you don't already, is that it really is never too late. It is never too late to stop the presses, to do the moonwalk back and say, you know what? No, I don't need this. It's not making me happy. I'm going to do this. Because guess what? What you decide to do, usually in midlife, is not really necessarily impacting anybody else but you and maybe your significant other. And that's it. The kids are grown and gone. A lot of your friends, they're retired. They're doing their thing or whatever. And you really can do you. I would say that's one of the best things about midlife.
It absolutely is. You get to, this is the point where you get to, if you need a reboot and you need to or want to redefine who you are, this is when you get to do that. This is when you get to, you're not mommy all the time. You're not, you're a spouse always or with your partner or whatever, but even within that, if you've been with that person for a long time, you both know who you are. So if you want to do something different within that relationship or that situation, or you want to do something different with yourself, this is your opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And, it's the best part of life in the sense that we've done our due diligence with our kids. We've done our due diligence with our work lives for the most part. This is the time, like you said, to do you. Where do you want to spend this next period of your life? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be?
Yes.
And figure that out and go for it.
And you can ask that question. You can ask that question and search for the answer. There's nothing wrong with answering that question. I hear all the time about women and men, but especially men, going back to school and getting that degree that they always wanted to do, going and pursuing their doctorates. And some people say, well, doctors, what are you going to do with that? You're 70. Because I want to.
Exactly.
It's something that I've always done. Things will always have to be tied to some huge materialistic goal or some huge life-altering goal. It may be tied to because I want to. This is something that's been always important to me. And guess what? In midlife, you don't have to explain yourself the same way that you might have had to with the kids and everything else. Why is mommy wearing a miniskirt to work? Well, okay, let me explain this. It's a costume party. It's not because I'm being loose or whatever, but I have young children and they're impressionable and I can't. Well, you have to do all that.
Right. Exactly.
I'm wearing a mini dress today with my cellulite thighs and everything else because I want to.
Because I want to. I look good in it. And even if I don't, I don't care. See, remember that? We're full circle now. I don't care. We are full circle.
Mary Fran, it's been so wonderful to have you on the show and to talk about all these things that we can value midlife. And if you just happen to tune in the middle of this, you need to back it up and listen again, because there's some real good life strategies here that we could all benefit from when it comes to midlife. I really do feel like at the end of the day, if you can't have a sense of humor about life and the challenges that it brings you. I mean, here's something that's kind of, before I would have gone crazy over it, and now I was like, I don't care. My youngest daughter, she's the one that has the little baby that you met, Darius, and she's flying around out of town, and she was a little upset with me because I didn't answer the phone right away because I was, working with the baby. So she texted me because, you know, millennials. And so I looked at it, and I read it, and I said, I don't have to respond to that.
Oh, no.
5 years ago, even just as little as
you
5 years ago, we've been, or call the telephone and say, listen, to that. And you know what? No. So later on we talked and she said, well, Mom, I want to get together with you and my sisters and we're going to talk about moving forward with my traveling, about care for Darius and everything else. I said, okay, that's fine. And she said, and I have a few things I want to say to you too. And I said, okay. So I hung up the phone and I said, wait a minute. Let me make sure I'm clear about something. I called her back. I said, let me make sure I'm clear. This is not going to be a coming to Jesus meeting for Mom. We've had that before, okay, where you've got a chance to tell me all your stuff that I did wrong, what you're upset with me about and everything else, okay? We've done that. I have gratis. I've given that to you on several conversations because I didn't want you to have that emotional baggage before I died and all that kind of stuff. We've done that. So I'll be glad to talk with you, but we are not having a coming to Jesus meeting for your Mom. About me. Okay? As long as she said, no, Mom, I wasn't going to do that. I was just going to apologize for what I said the other day. I said, okay, fine. That's fine.
Okay, that'll accept.
That'll accept.
We're good there.
You get to decide at midlife, especially with your children and other relationships, how much you want to bring into your...
Well, that's exactly it. And again, we'll come back to that word no again. And to be able to put up boundaries. Because at this stage of the game, you know, when your kids are little, there aren't too many boundaries. Because you always have to be there. Right. You have to be there to be there. But it's okay at this stage of the game to put up boundaries between yourself and your adult children. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And it's not that you would ever neglect a problem or a real situation. No. But like you were saying, you know, when they send that text and they need to talk to you right now, you look at it and you go, nah, you don't need to talk to me right now. I don't need to talk to you right now. So I'm going to go make myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and eat some Cheez-Its, and we'll talk later.
Mary Fran, thank you so much for being with us today on What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy. And for those people who want to laugh more with you, where can they find information about you and your books and your appearances and all the great things?
My website at maryfranbontempo.com has more of me than you could ever possibly want to know in your entire life. It tells you the books are there and the speaking, everything's there. maryfranbontempo.com. Look for me there.
Fantastic. And for those of you who are actually looking at the show page, you can see her beautiful picture here, as well as the link going directly to her website and all of her wonderful social media. Mary Fran, thank you so much for being with us and What's Inside You. It's been great having you.
Always, always a true joy and a pleasure, Linus. Always.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you. I hope you've had a chance to kind of have a good laugh. I mean, without laughter, my good first step to wellness, you got to laugh. No matter what's going on in your life, you got to find a way to have a sense of humor about whatever's been served up. Because guess what? This is the real deal. Along your life, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to have some real stuff happen that's not too cool. But at the other end of that is all the key learnings. The maturation process is continuing, and you're coming out of it stronger and better than ever. And that's when you really keep embarking on that journey for wellness for your mind, body, and spirit. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Linus, and I am a holistic living and wellness expert. It's been great to have you, and we'll see you again next time.